So as we're trying to train or persevere for something, our motivations oftentimes are a huge part of why we're able to keep going. When I was like 14 or 15, I wanted to run in high school track. And so I went, okay, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to start running through our neighborhood. I realized actually how little I wanted to run well for high school, because I'd get kind of out of view of the house and then go, I think I can walk for a little bit. And eventually my dad was out running errands and he drove by and he slowed the car down and just looked at me. And it's become something that now we kind of tease each other about. So when I started running again recently, running because I need to take care of my heart and because, gosh, my body is a gift from the Lord and I want to use it well, my dad asked me, he's like, well, I'm not going to be driving around and seeing you walking when you tell me you're running, right? I said, no, I think I'm past that, Dad. But that question of what is our motivation, why are we doing what we do, it's there today in this gospel as we hear the call to persevere in our prayer. So if we misunderstand this gospel, we may end up with an image of God that is, if we just annoy him long enough, he'll deign to come down and give us our prayer because we're really obnoxious to him. But if we pay attention to the images that Jesus uses throughout the gospel, and really recently in the last few weeks, the image is in fact that Jesus takes sort of the worst case scenario of a human being and says, but they can be manipulated into doing the right thing. So if this person who is so unjust can be made to do the right thing, how much more so can God, who is perfect justice, who is perfect love, do for us what we actually need? How good he is. So why should we doubt or be fearful? It's why there's this last line that doesn't feel like it fits. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Right? Faith is not something that we have in, 20% or 37%. It's like we pour some more in. Faith is the lived relationship of intimacy and trust between us and God. So what Jesus is asking is, as we persist in asking God to grant our prayers, will it in fact lead to a deepening of relationship? Or are we treating him like a vending machine? Right. So there is a sociologist out of Notre Dame, very, very excellent sociologist who is specialized in the study of religion and its transmission in culture. And he did a study. His name is Dr. Christian Smith. He did a study, and in this study, he examined the testimony of thousands of people who claim to be Christians, of variety of denominations. Catholics were included in there as well. And he said that you could boil down the God who these people, when interviewed, presented to a God who flows from moral therapeutic deism rather than from the God of sacred scripture. Now, to break down that kind of complicated phrase, moral therapeutic deism simply means moral, God basically wants me to be a good person. Therapeutic, God wants me to be happy. Deism is a philosophy where we believe that God wound up the universe kind of like a watch and just set it run. So he's up there somewhere. How many of us have heard even other Christians speak of God as if he's somewhere out there, wants us to be happy, and pretty much cares that we're a good person? That's moral therapeutic deism, and it is an epidemic in American Christianity, and I would say in American Catholicism as well. We grew up, even if we grew up in great Catholic or Christian families, this is the landscape we've grown up in, and so we drank this image of God in, and he can sort of emerge, this idol, this false image of God can emerge in the way we try and relate. to the actual God of sacred scripture who reveals himself to us out of infinite love. So, of course, when God encounters idols, he smashes them, which relates then to this call to persevere in our prayer. Because, yes, God is love. God desires that we would be happy. But as any of you who are parents know, what someone who is immature thinks will make them happy is very different than what the gaze of maturity actually knows to be happiness. And so God, in his love and in his desire that we wouldn't just be scared people coming before a judge, but rather his sons and daughters, calls us to this deepened maturity that sees with him what is in fact truly good. So, as I was growing up, I didn't pay any attention in Mass, basically, until we got to the homily. And I just went, well, that's not my stuff. Like, Father is saying those prayers. But if we pay attention, generally the opening prayer gives really beautiful insight in what the Church, in her wisdom, desires we would receive from the Mass. And today, this weekend, we have ultimately a prayer that our will would align with God's will and that we would serve him in sincerity of heart. Right? So there is the desire of the Father of what would come from our persistence in prayer, that our will would align with God's will and that there would be sincerity or intimacy in our service of him. Right? You can't be intimate with a vending machine. And the vending machine better give me what I want, otherwise I'm going to do that really dangerous thing and I'm going to shake it. Which, by the way, don't do that. That's more dangerous than a shark in terms of the statistics. But we can approach God the same way in immaturity. So God is saying, no, I am greater than that. Jesus' whole purpose in this parable is God isn't this unjust judge who has to be beaten and cajoled into doing the right thing. But if that's the case, then that means we must trust that what God allows as the answer to our prayers is in fact the right thing, which may mean that we wait for a very long time. And St. Augustine, in writing a letter to a friend about prayer, has just a very beautiful insight that I want us to reflect on. Of what God is doing, because certainly Augustine not only experienced praying for certain things, but also knew that his saintly mother had prayed for decades for his conversion. So why did it take so long? Why should God ask us to pray when he knows what we need before we ask him? This may perplex us if we do not realize that our Lord and God does not want to know what we want, for he cannot fail to know it, but wants us rather to exercise our desire through our prayers so that we may be able to receive what he is preparing to give us. His gift is very great indeed, but our capacity is too small and limited to receive it. The deeper our faith, the stronger our hope, the greater our desire, the larger will be our capacity to receive that gift, which is very great indeed. And in quoting St. Paul saying that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, it has not entered into man's heart, Augustine says, man's heart must enter into it. So are we approaching God in our prayer as if he is a vending machine, a God of moral therapeutic deism, or the God of Scripture, who is our Father, and in his knowledge of what is truly good, what we truly need, brings us to a maturity where our heart is transformed, maybe even to the point that we see what we wanted and prayed for with such insistence was in fact not good for us, and so God's answer to prayer came, and it came as no, but a no that is charged with true love. or that we see that in order to receive the thing God said yes to, we needed something more, a healing in our heart, a transformation, a wholeness that we couldn't have borne the greatness of the gift we were asking for until that was there. Or perhaps God is preparing something that is so great in answer to our prayer that we can't even begin to imagine it. But we know regardless, the answer to his prayer is always himself. And so our prayer, regardless of whether it is petition for another, for ourselves, whether it is thanksgiving and praise, whatever it may be, has as its end goal the enlargement and stretching of our heart to receive the gift, but not that our heart can contain and control it because the gift is the infinite God, but rather that our heart may be able to immerse itself, enter into the greatness of God's own heart. So Jesus asked the question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So as we bring God all of our prayers before the altar each weekend, do we walk away with the truth firmly fixed in our minds? Not that we're running the race or persevering for something passing or just what we think we want, but rather for something that may motivate us eternally, an intimate relationship with God who gives us himself in answer to all of our prayers, and that in answering that way, he gives us everything that we, in fact, truly need.